Thank you, Carl. It's nice to see the FAA slides getting more colourful these days. I'm now going to invite Paul Steele to come to the podium. Paul's going to present some slides as well.
Thank you, Christopher, and I'm very conscious of the fact that I've got 10 minutes. So first of all, thank you, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, that we have the opportunity here to address you this morning. The challenge, if I had the power to make international aviation environmentally sustainable, what would be the action plan? Well, I think the good news is industry has an action plan. Industry is working on that action plan, and industry is already delivering results on that action plan as we go forward. But we can't just deal with one aspect without looking at that within the context of the whole. And a few people have mentioned today the important role that aviation plays in being a key driver of social and economic development. Let's remind ourselves of the numbers there. We transport 2.2 billion people every year. We create and employ 32 million people around the world, creating 8% of GDP. And yes, at the same time, producing 2% of global man-made CO2 emissions. But for many countries around the world, and we heard it from Australia, we're a major driver of tourism and trade as an industry. But of course, that success, that driver, brings with it challenges. And our biggest challenge that we recognize as an industry is the projected growth in our CO2 emissions moving forward. But this is not a new challenge to the industry. We have a strong track record in dealing with it. It was cited this morning that our fuel efficiency has improved by 70% over the last 40 years, represented by the green line on that slide. What that's translated to from 1990, if we had stayed put with our technology in 1990 compared to where we are today, we've already mitigated 3.3 billion tons of CO2 through the activities that we've put in place. But that's not enough. We can't look back. We have to look forward. And that is why last year the industry came together in a way that it's never done before, I don't think, on an issue. And that is to put three very clear targets in place. We've heard today about the need for targets. We've put targets in place to improve our fuel efficiency by 1.5% per annum between now and 2020, to essentially cap our emissions from 2020, and then more ambitiously by 2050 to reduce our net emissions by 50% compared to where they were in 2005. Now, we took these targets to Copenhagen, and I can tell you there was not one other industry that was able to put a plan on the table that was as ambitious and comprehensive as the plan that the industry put forward. And as I said, industry is united behind this plan. It's not just airlines, it's airlines, airports, air navigation service providers, and all the major manufacturers of airframes and engines, all working together collaboratively against the same set of goals and implementing a four-pillar strategy that you've probably heard of many times before, so I don't intend to go into detail on that as we go forward. What that's allowed us to do is to develop what we've called an emissions reduction roadmap. The green line on this slide shows the trajectory that we are trying to get our emissions to follow. And that, of course, requires a huge amount of collaborative effort and a lot of activity, not just on the part of the industry, but on all stakeholders involved in aviation. We already have in our sights a number of new technologies that we know will deliver significant reductions as we move forward. The challenge, of course, is where do the rest of those innovations come from? And we spent a lot of time already this morning talking about new technologies, but also particularly alternative fuels and low-carbon fuels. The orange little half circle in the middle of that slide represents what we think we may possibly need in terms of economic measures, the opportunity to compensate a certain amount of our emissions in the medium term until those new technologies kick in. But let me home in a little bit closer. The 1.5% fuel efficiency target that the industry set is sometimes regarded as being, well, maybe that's not very ambitious. Maybe that is business as usual. But 1.5% per annum between now and 2020 means 17% further improvement in fuel efficiency. And what that translates to is a further mitigation of 2.2 billion tons of CO2 between now and the end of this decade. Now that is a challenge, and the airlines are dealing with that challenge and will have to face up to the need to purchase another 12,000 new aircraft between now and 2020 at a cost of $1.3 trillion in order to deliver on that 1.5%. And then on top of that, we need other stakeholders to play the part as well. We can't do it all on our own. Governments have to step up to the plate. We've heard about air traffic management improvements and investments. And NextGen and SAESAR are absolute imperatives as quickly as we can possibly get them in order to assist in reaching the targets that we're trying to get to. And importantly, more research and development in new technologies to accelerate and shorten, to accelerate implementation and shorten the development timeframes. Governments also need to take a proper view of the potential for alternative low-carbon fuels and particularly biofuels. And again, look at opportunities for improving and increasing research and development funding, funding pilot projects, putting the right fiscal and legal incentives in place, but also making it part of a comprehensive transport and energy policy. Certain industries have alternatives, other industries don't in terms of their source of energy. And this is something that governments need to reflect in their policies as we go forward. But when we talk about government policy for aviation, we need global solutions. International aviation is a global industry, unlike most others. International shipping is the only other one that bears a close similarity. And in order to deliver anything, we need a global facilitating framework, which is made up of a combination of all measures. You can't just pick one. You need to put a whole package of measures on the table, which includes positive market-based measures, investments in research and technology, providing incentives for industry to move forward, providing access for aviation to global carbon markets, and also access to things like CDM mechanisms, particularly on things like biofuel development, for example, and ways of enhancing fleet replacement in developing countries is another opportunity. But they also have to be based on a set of very sound principles. Because if you start tinkering with a global system like international aviation, you can quickly run into problems. So emissions need to be accounted for at a global level, and they need to be addressed through a full package, a combination, a comprehensive package of measures, including technology operations and infrastructure, as well as economic measures where and as necessary. One of the fundamental principles needs to be that the emissions from international aviation are accounted for just once. And we also, of course, if we talk about economic measures, need an open architecture. We need access to global carbon markets and those mechanisms. And I'm pleased to hear a couple of suggestions this morning that any revenues that may eventually be derived from those measures should be prioritized for reinvestment to allow the industry to continue to mitigate its emissions. One of the key challenges that we face is that the level of development of aviation is not uniform around the world, and we recognize that there needs to be a way to address the differing needs of states being taken into account. And ICAO has a strong track record historically of being able to do that. But again, anything that is implemented needs above all to ensure that there is a level playing field for operators between markets in that new system. This year, ICAO has a huge opportunity to take ambitious action at the 37th Assembly at the end of September. But we have to remember that ICAO is not this building that we're all sitting in. It's not the Secretariat. ICAO is made up of its 190 member states. And so it's important that those member states work diligently to build bridges across their different positions, looking and and exploring every available measure that's there. We've heard about de minimis rules, technology transfer, technical support, financial support, and implementation frameworks at the national, regional, and global level. ICAO has experience of dealing with these and has done that very successfully historically, and I have every confidence that with the right will and commitment that we can find those solutions as we move forward to the Assembly in September. From an industry perspective, you know, our plan that we've put on the table is our dream, and we're working on it. Our biggest single nightmare is that failure at ICAO will lead to governments taking fragmented decisions that leads to a patchwork quilt of duplicative measures that will essentially be an administrative and financial burden to the industry. So we must come up with global solutions. Because if we don't, it puts into question the orderly growth of civil aviation, one of the fundamental principles of the Chicago Convention. So governments and industry, we must work together through ICAO. We must work together to craft a comprehensive package of measures that has firm targets, because industry needs targets in order to know what to deliver on, a clear strategy for implementation, and a global facilitating framework to enable us to do it. Now, I think we're on the right path. Many of the elements of that comprehensive framework are in place, but we need to move forward. And if we can move forward together, then we can assure the sound, sustainable future for aviation that I hope we all aspire to. And finally, let me just introduce you to two things. During the course of the next 3 days, there'll be a number of presentations from industry. And on all of those presentations, you will see this logo. And this logo is just a gentle reminder to everyone that this industry has come together around this issue in a way that has never done it before. And we have close collaboration across the board, across all the industry stakeholders, in really pushing the envelope in trying to move this agenda forward. So everything that you see from the industry is all part of a collaborative effort to move this forward. And I think I welcome what Carl said just now, is that this is not a plan. This is not a dream. This is not something that's going to be delivered in the future. It's happening now. And one of the things that we've produced at ATAG, and there are copies outside for you, is the Green Flight Times. And all this is a collection of all the press releases that have happened across the industry from January to May 2010, talking about all of the advances, all of the steps, all of the activities that are being carried out around the world by different aviation stakeholders in really trying to address this issue. And so if there's no more evidence of the urgency and the commitment and the willingness of this industry to move forward, then it's contained in this. And again, we need your support in ICAO to make sure that we can continue that work and keep aviation firmly focused on developing a successful, sustainable future. Thank you very much.